Sports Talk 1570, WNST.
Sports Talk 1570 WNST, Bob Haney Show, brought to you by Budweiser. It's noon-ish, 12:08, as a matter of fact. Joining us in studio, as he does every Friday, from nationalchamps.net, talk a little college football, Mr. Todd Helmick. Todd, what's happening?
Heavy ACC.
We're going to go through all 12 teams, correct?
All of them.
And we're going to make sure it, we let you know who's going to win. We talked last week who the media, Todd predicts the media will pick to win each side, the Atlantic and Coastal Division. And we all assume Florida State, Miami, and Virginia Tech would be the three teams at the top. But we'll let you know what really is going to happen in 2005. And if you want to talk about your favorite ACC team, give us a call at 410-481-1570. Todd Helmick, last year, with the Atlantic Coast Conference in regards to football, with the addition of Miami and the addition of Virginia Tech, and with Florida State and Maryland and Virginia, the mainstay schools anyway, ACC was going to be stronger than ever, maybe the strongest conference from top to bottom in college football. Didn't really pan out that way, did it?
No, it didn't pan out that way at all. In terms of upper echelon football, in terms of teams competing for a national championship, last year started a trend, I believe. As I've said before, I do not see any team in the ACC playing for a national championship or getting a shot at one. Now, I think you're looking at a one- or two-loss team coming out as the champion, and that's exactly what happened last year. So it fell short, and I think another big reason it fell short last year was Florida State Seminoles, kind of disappointing. They were probably the team that didn't meet its expectations more than anyone else in the conference. That one really hurt. And, you know, if we'd have had this two-division split like we have this year, six teams on each side with Boston College coming in,
yeah.
If that split would have been identical last season, we would have had Florida State still winning that Atlantic Division with two conference losses, one to the Terps, as we well know, and jumping right into it, the Atlantic Division in particular, two-loss team wins that division.
And you look at the Atlantic Division and the teams and the reconstituted, I guess, ACC, Atlantic Division, Florida State, Maryland, NC State, Boston College, Clemson, and Wake Forest. So of those six teams, any national title contenders, you're saying no?
There's none coming out of the entire ACC, in my opinion. If someone had a shot to make a run at a title game, it would be the coastal side, either Virginia Tech or Miami. And those are the only two teams in the top 10 out of the entire ACC. So that makes logical sense. Again, last year, Virginia Tech took that loss to NC State, their only loss in conference. It's nice because they open up with NC State on primetime television Sunday of Labor Day weekend. Nice matchup there in Raleigh this time around.
So I guess we'll start off with Maryland. Last year for the Terps, 5-6, did not get to a bowl game. Offense just went away. Inconsistent to poor quarterback play. And judging by what we've seen and heard so far, Todd, with Hollenbeck and Statham and Jordan Steffi appears to be coming back from injury here, it still looks as though the quarterback position for Maryland is a major question mark.
Yes, it is. And matter of fact, every preseason publication online or in print in the magazine that I have seen, that's the first headline story. Quarterback, quarterback, and quarterback. Because as of right now, we know Sam Hollenbeck is the starter. The problem is, and when you look at Maryland's concern on our website, we list every team's strength and concern with this ACC breakdown. The quarterback is the starter, should I say. Who turns the ball over less? Who hurts the team less? Mm-hmm. That's not what you want to hear from the quarterback position. You need a playmaker. Now, I've seen teams in the past, like Florida State teams of the 90s, get by with subpar quarterbacks, or maybe better than average quarterbacks, because they had so much more talent and a great defense. Maryland's not quite there in terms of surrounding talent to where they can have a quarterback play not to lose the game. They need way more than that out of that position.
You were at the spring game for the Terps, Hollenbeck Stadium. Who's the better guy? Who's best suited to make this team achieve some things offensively?
From what I saw at the spring game back in April, I'd go with Sam Hollenbeck. He looks a little more debonair in the pocket.
Debonair?
A little more poised.
He was wearing a bow tie when he...
No, just more poised, calm, relaxed. Stadium kind of reminds you of a little... right word to look for, a little jittery back there in the pocket, still undecisive, and you can see his indecisiveness. If Hollenbeck has some of that indecision, you can't really tell. However, I think Stata might be a better playmaker. It's just, but he's also more inconsistent. So again, you go back to the quarterback who doesn't hurt you the most, and that would be Hollenbeck. And that's why right now he's the starter. Coach Friedgen said he'll open up the competition again this fall. But as we know, Jordan Steffi was out this spring, the entire spring. I've heard stories that he may not be back at the start of August practice with some nerve conditions and some post-operative arthritis that set in his knee there. So he may not be available come August 1st. We'll wait and see.
If you look at Maryland and rate their quarterbacks on a scale of 1 to 5, five being, Matt Leinart, how would you rate Maryland's quarterback situation?
On a scale of 1 to 5, I'd have to give it about a 2.5, maybe a 2, which is average, a little below average. That is their weakest point. Right now, that's their weakest point.
Yeah.
By far, you look at their, again, on our website, we put our strengths and concerns for each team. I had two concerns. Quarterback, we just covered, and offensive line cohesiveness. They have some talent on the OL, but last year we saw injuries just decimate the situation where each week there was different guys playing a different position on the OL. I think that hurt. Given their running back situation this year, I think they're going to have to get more out of the OL.
So if you look at a team and you analyze the quarterback play by saying they need someone that doesn't lose games for them, you're hoping then, as you just said, you have a good offensive line. You have good receivers, and you certainly need a strong running game. Your thoughts on the Maryland running game right now?
I am not as down and out about the running backs at Maryland as Bob has led me to believe he feels over the course of the last couple
months.
I'm not
down and out about them. I'm just they're as big a question mark to me, with maybe more upside than the quarterback situation.
I will say, though, watching that spring game, Ray Lewis's brother playing at tailback.
Keon Lattimore,
the true sophomore. Very impressed with him. And you throw Mario Merrills in there. Now, Merrills, to me, just doesn't have the speed to get to the outside. Once he gets his size behind him, running past the line of scrimmage, picks up speed, he's tough to bring down. You still have a combo there. Merrills, I think, runs a little harder. But Lattimore, as we saw in that spring game, he had a touchdown run where he stiff-armed a defensive back, and I'm telling you, that defensive back went parallel to the turf immediately. Very impressive. So they had a senior coming back in Josh Allen. We know he's not going to play this year. He's going to redshirt, be available in 06. I don't think that hurts as much as we may have originally thought. I'm happy with the running backs. However, I don't see one being anywhere near an all-ACC type of postseason award.
But they can get, whether it's Merrills or Lattimore or Lance Ball, J.P. Humber, whoever the guy may be, they can get, 1,700 yards out of a combination.
Out of a combination. I do not see either back out of their Ball, Lattimore, Merrills going for over 1,000. It could, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah, we saw last year with the team, with Allen before he got hurt, and Sammy Maldonado, with the quarterback play being as inconsistent as it was, Maryland didn't run the ball as effectively as they would have liked to, and it certainly hurt them, because over the years, Chris Downs, certainly Allen has had his moments, Bruce Perry. The running game was a little bit of a disappointment, I would think. Goes into the offensive line being disappointing last year.
Last year, the offensive line, again, to repeat injuries, kept this unit. One week a guy'd be at guard, then at center, then at tackle, and just could not come together. And we saw that horrible stretch, Georgia Tech, NC State at home. I mean, that was just dismal offense. The quarterback had no time. You can put the blame on Statham. He had no time to throw. Yeah. He'd take two steps, and people were all over him. I would say this, in a nutshell, the defense is going to have to win games for Maryland, and I don't think that's any secret.
Can Maryland take advantage of a schedule that may not be the best in college football this year?
Well, they're still in the ACC, and that means, you know, all six teams in the Atlantic Division made our top 50. I'll run them down real quick how we see it in terms of some rankings. Florida State, a top 20 team, not top 10, top 20. I think next in line is Boston College, who's going to come in anywhere from 23rd to 26th in the country. And then that's why I said next in line would be NC State, falling anywhere from 30 to 45 in the country. Maryland's not getting any top 40 love from anybody.
And rightfully so. I mean, you're not even a bowl team from last year. And, you really are having question marks, mainly on the offensive side of the football. And you lose Sean Merriman. You lose most of your secondary. I mean, Dominique Foxworth was a third-round draft pick. I mean, they've taken some hits, no pun intended, throughout the team. Look at their schedule, Maryland's. September 3rd against Navy down in Baltimore, or here in Baltimore. Then Clemson, West Virginia, both home games. And then at Wake Forest. So how important will those first four games be for the Terps to maybe set a foundation for a winning year?
Huge. Of course, now again, these non-conference games a little on the light side, which is usually the case with Maryland a lot of seasons. The Navy opener's key. I'm going to go to that game. It is a 6 o'clock kickoff. It's on College Sports Television, the new channel, the Navy contract at Raven Stadium. Navy's, I'm going to say, not even half as good is the team they fielded last year, which was all seniors. Maryland's got to win that football game. However, Paul Johnson, the coach at Navy, with that crazy triple option system, specializing in neutralizing teams with better talent and more speed, is going to give Maryland some trouble. You just don't show up and beat on Navy with a team like Maryland has. Interesting, that's going to start it out. Went to the West Virginia spring game and the Maryland spring game. Covered it for a few newspapers. That game's a coin toss. I'm glad it's a bird, but that flip a coin, at this point, I couldn't tell you who.
Maryland should have beat them last year, but woulda, coulda, shoulda, as you well know, Todd Helmick. Todd Helmick, nationalchamps.net. You don't have to give us the exact record. We're going to do a big Maryland preview show right before the Navy game, but will this be a winning football team?
It will be a winning football team in terms of over 500. If it's not, I will be highly disappointed. I would say the average prediction on records would be a 7-4 season. So that means 8-3, you got to be happy.
I'd be ecstatic if they were 8-3 this year.
8-3 is static. 7-4, fairly satisfied. 6-5, disappointment. 5-6, what a terrible campaign. That's how I'd lay out Maryland. But like I said, getting back to the Atlantic, I'm predicting now all six teams in the ACC Atlantic Division will be bowl eligible come December, meaning they'll have six wins. And we'll get into a little bit more. Wake Forest, Jim Grobe, they may be picked to finish sixth in the conference. And this is one of Jim Grobe's better programs since he's been there. Watch out for the Deacons.
Yeah, because you talk about that with the Atlantic Division, and then you go to the Coastal, which we'll obviously talk about. And I see some teams that have the potential to be very good in the Coastal Division. All right, let's stay with the Atlantic. Todd Helmick, nationalchamps.net, here on the Bob Haney Show, brought to you by Budweiser, talking some college football. ACC football in particular right now. If you want to get in, talk about Florida State, Miami, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Todd is here for you. All right, Atlantic Division, we'll start it off with the favorites. Florida State, as you said, a top 20 team. Quarterback issues, obviously. Top 20 team, but is this one of Bobby Bowden's, I don't want to say worst teams, but let's just say the expectations aren't as high as we've seen from Florida State over the years.
Yeah, the expectations are not near as high as we've seen, which shouldn't surprise anyone because you look back to 2001, Chris Ricks, his freshman season. Since 2001, they've been averaging 3-4 losses a season. They've been winding up ranked anywhere from 14th to 25th in the country. So when they come in this preseason ranked anywhere from 14 to 20, why should that be a surprise? Well, it is a surprise because their preseason expectations are a little bit higher. Bobby Bowden has talent. We see it every year in the recruiting rankings and things of that nature. However, I think the Bowden family, Jeff and Bobby, the coaches, have more question marks this year than they've ever had in I'd say, the last 15. You look at the concerns we list on our preview at nationalchamps.net. Quarterbacks, one, Wyatt Sexton won't be the starter for the opener. We know about his off-the-field troubles. So that means you got two redshirt freshmen who haven't played any significant snaps in college football. Yeah. They're opening up against Miami. I think that says a mouthful. But more of their weakness, their offensive line was decimated. They only have about one solid returning starter up front. And it was bad last year, even with the talent. Offensive line is always an issue in Tallahassee. They brought in a new OL coach, however, might change things a bit. But lastly, their biggest concern, Bob, they only had 3 defensive tackles on scholarship this spring. You need 8 defensive tackles to bring. I mean, that's a tiring position to play, very tiring, very thin at tackle. They've got some issues.
Any talent on that defensive tackle position or defensive line?
Roderick Bunkley is their mainstay from last year. He has the ability to become an all-ACC performer. I will say that. They also brought in a kid 2 years ago at defensive tackle by the name of Aaron Jones, a redshirt freshman. He got hurt last year. This was the number one rated defensive tackle out of the state of Florida. It was a Miami-Florida State battle. He chose the Noles. We'll see if he can step up play. Now, the Noles do have some strength. I'll real quick run down their strength. The best dual running back system in the ACC, Lorenzo Booker, Leon Washington. Washington's actually a dark horse Heisman candidate. I don't think a running back from Florida State ever has a shot because they always divide the carries up in half. But you may find both this year go over 1,000 yards or close to it. They almost did it last year. And lastly, their strength. I think this is the best linebacker core in terms of overall depth out of anyone in the country. Now, we did our linebacker unit rankings earlier, and you get your Ohio States and your Iowas as 1 and 2 because of the starters. But in terms of depth, Florida State has 10 linebackers that could start anywhere.
So Florida State, they open their schedule. Look, like you said last year, if they got by Miami game one, they were going to run the table. Well, they lost to Miami and had some pitfalls in between. Miami, the Citadel, at BC, Syracuse to start the season. What do you think there?
The interesting one there is September 17th, a trip to Beantown. I'm going to stand out right now and say that one will decide the ACC Atlantic Division. But Florida State's your favorite by the media.
Right, but you're saying BC, and of course you just let some of the cat out of the bag, that game will decide the Atlantic Division. So when we come back, you're going to pick Florida State to win the Atlantic or be the favorite.
Be the favorite.
You're going to talk about the team that you think will win.
Absolutely.
The Atlantic Division.
The Big Easties.
The Bob Haney Show brought to you by Budweiser, Todd Helmick, NationalChamps.net. Sports Talk 1570 WNST, Bob Haney Show brought to you by Budweiser. 12:30 on this Friday at Baltimore, Maryland. Todd Helmick, NationalChamps.net, joining us. We're breaking down the ACC as we're about 2 months away from the start of the college football season 2005. Give you a quick preview here. We're talking about the Atlantic Division. Maryland, you would think, will be a winning team this season. I'll take 6-5. 7-4 would be fantastic. 8-3, Friedgen should be ACC Coach of the Year, in my opinion. Florida State, you think, will be picked by the media to win the Atlantic Division. But let's talk about the team that you think will win the Atlantic Division. Coming from the Big East, the New England area, the BC Eagles, why Boston College?
Why Boston College? Get that question a lot. And I am taking a reach by predicting Boston College to make it to the first ever Dr. Pepper ACC Championship game in Jacksonville December 3rd. Why? Our preseason All-American list at nationalchamps.net came out in early March when the preview came out. The ACC Media Relations Office picked up our story on it, ran it on the ACC official website, and I read it. It said, out of all teams in the ACC, Boston College led the league in having number of players considered for nationalchamps.net All-American status. 7 players. No other team had that many players. I didn't even know that because I didn't keep track by each team in each conference who had the most. That means they have some talent. Boston College has the best offensive line. They have two All-Big East linemen, Jeremy Trueblood, a tackle, Patrick Ross, a center, and they have a great young combination at tailback, L.V. Whitworth, Andre Collender. Both of them have a chance to go over 1,000 yards when healthy. You look at some of their weakness real quick. Quentin Porter, the senior, comes back to take the quarterback spot. Inconsistency at quarterback play, and I think they're lacking a big-name receiver. But those are reasons why I see BC winning at that, and I think Florida State's got too many issues. But again, we set off air, and I'll summarize it again. 3 teams have a shot at winning the Atlantic. Florida State, Boston College, NC State, and I think the winner comes out with two conference losses.
Talk about BC from the defensive side of the football, a couple of potential All-Americans here.
Well, they have a first-team All-American on everyone's list. I believe the best pass rusher in college football. Matter of fact, should have came out early to the NFL possibly. His name, defensive end, Matthias Kiwanuka. Yes, I get that name right. Matthias Kiwanuka is a senior.
Excellent.
Look for him to get 20 sacks this year from his defensive end spot. Will Blackman is a cornerback they have, also a special punt returner, kick returner. He's an All-American with us. So you start seeing these all-conference, All-American names. BC has as good a shot as any. Imagine that. And if we, and you know who I'm going to pick in the coastal side, we could have an all-Big East first ever championship game. That's amazing.
Well, let me talk about Boston College, their first four games at BYU. And I guess this isn't your father's Brigham Young University right now. Army, Florida State at home, and then at Clemson.
As I said, Florida State comes to Beantown September 17th. Mark that on the calendar. BC will be top 25 at that point, 2-0, and they have a shot at beating Florida State. A lot of things can happen. But I also, you got to look, though, the big game for me to them, they go to Virginia Tech on a Thursday night of Halloween weekend, and they get NC State at home, and, of course, closing out at Maryland. So Maryland, there you go, last game of the year for BC, November 19th. Maryland could have a shot. If they're not in the race, they could at least have a say on who wins that race.
NC State, you like them coming in third, I guess. What's to like about the Wolfpack this year?
Defensive line, the number one rated defensive line in the country, with our national champs and net unit rankings. I'm predicting their two defensive ends, Manny Lawson, Mario Williams. You've got two defensive ends right there that are All-American or at least first-team All-Conference, all four starting D linemen back. Another guy you want to watch out for, DeMario Presley, a sophomore defensive tackle, was the number one rated defensive tackle out of high school. Chuck Amata bringing in these kids, playing the defensive line. It's what he did at Florida State even when I played under him. I love their defense. Phillip Rivers has to be scratching his head wondering where in the world was this defense when I was playing it in Raleigh.
Well, Phillip Rivers is missing from the offense, and let's go to the other side of the football. Jay Davis took over last year. What kind of improvement should we see from him? And secondly, with T.A. McClendon moving on, who's running the football for these guys?
Yeah, that's the question. Again, I love to give our strengths and concerns. That's something we do with our conference previews on the website. Again, strength, defensive line. Offensive line, not great, but more steady than what we've seen in the past. Here's a concern. Running back. It's deep, but it's unproven, and there's no more T.A. McClendon, as Bob just mentioned. However, McClendon, we know he was always hurt. So giving that, there's some guys who had some time back there at running back, Reggie Davis, Bobby Washington. I'd say they don't have the power of McClendon, but quarterback play hurt this team last year just like it did at Maryland. And you're going to see the same thing this year in terms of whoever has the hot hand that week. I think Chuck Amata is going to go with. It's either Jay Davis, the senior, or Marcus Stone, the sophomore. So to me, two things have to happen for NC State to make a push for winning the ACC Atlantic Division. That is better quarterback play. Find yourself some running backs, because the defense is going to keep them there.
Bob Haney Show brought to you by Budweiser. Todd Helmick, NationalChamps.net, is with us. We're previewing the ACC on this July 1st here, 2005. 410-481-1570 is the number if you want to get in. So BC wins it, the Atlantic Division, so I'll just mark that down right now.
Write it down. Todd Helmick said BC, and that is an upset call by most publication standards. I'm just saying that because, again, Florida State, I think, too many issues. I see them with another 2-3 loss season at best.
All right, Coastal Division, we'll move over here. Virginia Tech, defending ACC champions, maybe the closest team that the ACC has to competing for a national title. Why do you pick them over Miami at this point?
It's just like the national poll, top 25. You see Virginia maybe 6th, 7th, 8th, Miami 9, 10th, 11, something like that. Miami's right on their heels. People, I'm going to tell you something about Virginia Tech right now, the defending ACC champion, by the way. They are better than last year across the board with one exception, and that is Brian Randall at quarterback is gone. So that means in comes Marcus Vick. We've heard so much about this kid. How could you not? It's Michael's younger brother. But from what people have seen in the spring, people that know and watch the game, if he's half as good as the hype, Virginia Tech should scare the bejesus out of you right now, because I'm telling you, they are loaded across the board. They've got everybody back for the most part. Their only problem to me is their defensive backfield has Jimmy Williams and everybody else. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to find someone to step up other than Jimmy Williams, the All-American cornerback.
I'm trying to look at their toughest road games: at NC State to start the year, at West Virginia, at Maryland, at Virginia.
In the past,
and they host Miami, of course, in November.
That's the big one there. See, now they went to Miami last year and won. Ooh, Miami's got to come to Blacksburg, and I think that is the reason, a big part of the equation as to why Virginia Tech is favored to win the Coastal, because Miami is right on their heels. And it's funny because it's going to come down to Virginia Tech, Miami. So in the Coastal, you have the Big Two and everyone else in that sense. I really do believe that.
Todd, let's get out to the phones and get Kevin in Dundalk. Kevin, how are you?
All right. How you doing, Bob?
All right, man.
I was calling. I keep hearing about Terps. I'm from Maryland. I like the Terps, but what about the U?
Miami. You're giving us a nice segue. We just kind of broke down Virginia Tech there.
Thanks, Kevin.
Miami, their defense is so deep with those South Florida athletes, those starting job is secure. Nowhere on defense is a starting job secure because there's so much talent. Remember the Willie Williams recruit who was Mr. Everything out of high school, all the stuff about his recruiting trips? He's not even starting yet. His second year in the program, because Leon Williams, the middle linebacker, is playing too good. However, I'll give you some little tidbits about the spring that caused some concern, and it's all on the offensive side. The big concern was the offensive line was so poor this spring that it caused some panic from fans to coaches. But that was because up to six starters were out with injuries, including both their tight ends. This has become tight end university to some degree over the last 6 or 7 years. Both of their starters out this year, they had a walk-on starting at tight end. They're all expected back in the fall, including Winston, the All-American tackle. So I think they'll be okay once fall gets here. But it was so poor they couldn't get anything to happen this spring in terms of offense. And the big question everyone's waiting to see, what about Kyle Wright, the quarterback, the California prep phenom? I will say this about him in a nutshell, and this is what Miami players have said themselves. He will make a bad play, throw an interception, but for every bad play, he'll give you 10 good ones. He has trouble making quick reads. He's a slow reader, and that could be a problem decision-making. I'll say right now, he's going to meet the hype eventually before his tenure's through, but this year might see some shakiness out of him.
You look at their schedule. Miami's, they open at Florida State, a game that you think Miami will win. Then they're at Clemson. They host Colorado. I mean, at least on paper, then they host South Florida. It looks like an interesting first month of the season for the Hurricanes here.
It's crazy every year to think Miami, Florida State on Labor Day, open it up. Both teams, your first game of the year, you've only been practicing for a month. It's tough to see that game first, but I see why the ACC moved it there. They just felt originally, why play the last towards the end of the season when they'll probably have to play again in the championship game? That's not the case anymore, though, so I'd like to see that game get off of the first game of the year, maybe first, second week in October, just like you get with Oklahoma, Texas.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the plan was let's play these guys early because they're going to be, if not every year, every other year, playing for the ACC championship anyway. So you'd like Virginia Tech to edge out Miami for the Coastal Division. Let's talk about Virginia. The Cavaliers, Al Groh seems to bring in talent every year. When is it going to translate into that monster regular season?
Yeah, you wonder that. But I'll say this. Al Groh had one phenomenal recruiting class by Cavalier standards about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. But after that, it's been good recruiting classes, but I don't think they've been great in terms of top five type of rankings. The linebackers are the ones that are getting all the hype. Ahmad Brooks, Kai Parm. They did lose Daryl Blackstock, skipped early the NFL, kind of put a chink in that linebacker recruiting area. The key to me, and the same, it's going to be the same key with Georgia Tech, and the reason I group Virginia and Georgia Tech together is because you can flip a coin on these two. And also the second part of that, if anyone has a shot at pushing Miami and Virginia Tech, it's Virginia and Georgia Tech. So the key, though, with Virginia has two things. Marcus Hagan's the quarterback. If he improves, doesn't need to improve a lot, but if he improves enough, it may be enough to get Virginia into that race. I will say this, though, Bob, without looking at your sporting news guy, can you name me one Virginia receiver?
Yeah, that would be.
He's looking at a guy.
Ottawa Anderson.
Yeah, they're hurting at receiver. No playmakers. Didn't have them last year. Don't have them this year. And their defensive secondary right now at Virginia, little unproven, little unstable. But, again, I'll give you the strength real quick. At Virginia, it's linebacker, offensive line.
Yeah, their leading receiver, by the way, Virginia, it's Deion Williams with 19 catches.
Yeah, nothing. They don't have playmakers at the position, and the Cavaliers. Our average rankings at nationalchamps.net, where we average out all the major polls, Virginia creeped in at number 24 this week. So they're teetering around top 25 status heading into the preseason.
When is Wally Lundy going to bust out and have this 1,500-yard year? Is he capable of doing that?
Well, the amazing thing about Wally Lundy last year, 864 yards, 17 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's huge, but I think a lot of that came when you're second
gone,
and goal,
yeah.
Third and goal, not very many yards to get the touchdown. The 17 touchdowns jumps out at you, but the thing was Pierman was much quicker last year. Pierman's going now, the tailback. I want you to watch out for another guy they have, Michael Johnson. Michael Johnson's going to be the guy that complements Lundy in the backfield. They're set at running back. They're okay there.
Georgia Tech, I guess you're going to pick them fourth in that Coastal Division?
Yeah, we're going with the fourth pick for Georgia Tech in the division. However, again, flip a coin with Georgia Tech and Virginia. One could be third, one could be fourth. It's that close. The big thing about Georgia Tech this year, it's almost like NC State. Defense, defense, defense. Every unit, line, linebackers, secondary, highly consistent. Matter of fact, we gave a 1-5 rating for every unit on our previews. Line, 4 out of 5. Linebacker, 4 out of 5. DB, 4 out of 5. That's a high ranking. If you look, though, the concern, Reggie Ball, his freshman year, 2 years ago, rewind the clock. The hype, the freshman, the quick feet.
Yeah.
He's going to be a good one. Comes back his sophomore year, 18 interceptions. He's going to have to get over that interception.
And completing
hump.
Less than 50% of his passes, by the way.
But according to head coach Chan Gailey, he's got questions with the offensive line. So a quarterback who can't throw, an offensive line that doesn't block real well, you're going to have trouble passing, running. Like NC State, they're going to have to win with the defense.
But he does have certainly a superstar in the making in Calvin Johnson to throw to at wideout.
Yeah, I call him a 6'4" freak of nature, a true sophomore. There's been a lot of reports on his off-season conditioning, weight training, and his spring, how he catches phenomenal passes. Watch out for this cat. I'm telling you now, this guy is going to be one of the best receivers in the country, if not the best, in just his sophomore year, Calvin Johnson, the sophomore.
Can they run the ball with P.J. Daniels?
When P.J. Daniels is in the game, Georgia Tech wins. He was hurt last year when they came to Maryland. He played sporadically, but he never really was fully healthy. When he's healthy, they win football games. That's as simple as you can put it. A senior, and he's on a top 20 Heisman list.
Looking at their early schedule, September, at Auburn, North Carolina, UConn at home, and then at Virginia Tech.
Boy, you imagine that Labor Day weekend at Auburn. Boy, that's going to show telltale for two teams right there. That's a good matchup. Auburn, not quite the team they were last year, but still, you don't go into Jordan-Hare Stadium and walk out of there with victory that easily. So when we talk about schedules, you know, if you rewind the clock in the ACC 5 years ago, you could say non-conference schedules, teams that had weak ones, it benefited you because the ACC was not as strong from top to bottom. It's not that way anymore. I don't tend to look at non-conference scheduling anymore because the ACC is steady enough as it is. Like I said, the Atlantic Division, all 6 teams in our top 50, and you're looking at 4 teams in our top 40 here on the coastal side.
So for the record, when everything's said and done and they've played out the games and the national TV and the prognostications are all finished, it comes right down to football. You like BC and Virginia Tech to play for the ACC title this year.
Yep. Notice I keep saying the Dr. Pepper ACC championship game. I love the sponsorship thing. Gets me going there. Yep. Virginia Tech, Boston College. That's our prediction. However, I say the media favorite is Virginia Tech, Florida State.
Sleeper team in the ACC.
Well, I guess Boston College would have been it. My sleeper team, Wake Forest Demon Deacons under Jim Grobe. And although I have them predicted 5th or 6th in the conference, this is one of his better teams with that crazy misdirection running attack. They're stacked. They're a good team.
Team expected to do well. That may not. do well, like Clemson, for instance, last year.
You took the words out of my mouth. I think Clemson is that team. Is Charlie Whitehurst, the quarterback, going to return to dark horse Heisman form? Notice I said dark horse, not a front runner. That's the key. They have some good receivers still. It's been a great wide receiver university putting them out. I think the concern with Clemson has to do with their physical toughness up front on both sides of the ball. I mean, Bob, they were the 100th ranked rushing offense in the country last year, and the DL, mediocre at best. And lastly, let me just close by saying, all six teams in the Atlantic, five teams in the Coastal, not all six, so that's 11 teams out of 12, made our top 50 at nationalchamps.net. Not real heavy in the top 10, but on down the line, a lot of parity.
Okay, with parity, but no national title threat, in your opinion, how would you rate the ACC overall as a conference? Are they one of the top three or four conferences this year?
I'd say there's still a three or four conference. You want to know conferences, I think the Big Ten's much better this year, but the SEC and the Big 12 are still king, but I think the ACC's not far behind.
Nationally, USC, number one team, going to be preseason, probably on a unanimous scale. But they've had some injuries. We've talked about maybe their shortcomings in the secondary. They've lost some coaches here. Over the last couple of weeks or months, have the LSUs, Tennessees, Texases of the world closed the gap on the Trojans here?
I think they're closing the gap. Some voters are taking notice of what's going on with the departures, off-the-field issues at USC this week. Jeff Byers, their center, who didn't, or offensive guard, he plays both. The Gatorade High School Player of the Year is an offensive lineman out of high school 2 years ago. Done for the year with an injury that kept him out this spring. Defensive backs, Eric Wright, transferring. They only have one scholarship cornerback this spring. So they have some kryptonites, and I won't be surprised if the Pac-10, not as bad as people might think, someone like Arizona State, Cal, or UCLA, sneaks up and either beats USC or at least gives them a run for the money. But the only thing I can say about USC is they're so entrenched at number one right now in the poll, they're going to have to lose twice or by 31 points to get knocked out of the title race for the Rose Bowl this year. That's a shame.
Alabama Crimson Tide, Mike Shula gets a contract extension. Good or bad thing?
Well, he's paid $100,000 less than the basketball coach. What's going on down in Tuscaloosa? I think the reason is Bama fans hate Shula, and it's only because he doesn't win. They want to win every year. Forget the probations, the problems, scholarship reductions. They just have an issue with Shula being too conservative. Bama's might come in as number 24, 25 team in the polls come out. I don't think so. They're sitting anywhere from 25 to 30 right now. Not bad, though.
All right. And he's an Alabama guy, too. I mean, we may think of him as Don Shula's son, which he obviously is, but he was a quarterback for the Crimson Tide way back when. Todd Helmick, NationalChamps.net.